I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast.
Hello and welcome to Hardcore Listing. I am your sexy, more hairy host, Christopher, and sat opposite me via the means of Zoom is...
Stuart Roy Whiffin. I think I'm hairier than you. I know your beard is bigger than mine, but I say that I'm not that hairy at the moment because I had something quite strange. I've just got back from a mini break, and I knew that there was a chance that I would have a spa treatment there. I thought, and I was telling my hairdresser this, and he went to me. Because he often comments that when he's kind of like, shaping my hairline at the back and taking the hair off my neck, he's just like, oh, I don't know where to stop here. And I'm like, yeah, all right. And he went, do you want me to sort out your back for your spa?
What, in the hairdressers?
No, he comes to our house.
I was going to say. He had you up in the bathroom, did he?
He went, I can do the cutthroat or I can use the clippers. And I went, yeah, just use the clippers. So it was quite weird.
Did he give you a little kiss on the right between the shoulder blades once he finished?
No.
I mean, I wouldn't want that either.
But. No, he's really cool, and there's camp, and there's my hairdresser, and he's brilliant. I've got to also point out the day that he shaved my back was Eurovision Day. He was in a different planet. He was just so hyped for Eurovision.
I watched it this year. Yeah. I mean, like, first of all,
the only one that didn't.
Welcome to Hardcore Listing. Oh yeah, hello. This is a podcast where we record top fives. Top fives either suggested by listeners. Sometimes we have guests on. Or indeed, today's top five has been suggested by my long-suffering girlfriend. But let's get back to Eurovision. I loved it. I had a whale of time watching Eurovision. It was the first time I really watched the majority of it, and I was well into it, really into the spirit of it. And no surprise that we got 0 points.
Yeah,
it was whack. And then Amanda Holden was literally talking different languages, going, I don't know whether this is Dutch or whatever. Don't matter, does it? And I just thought,
did you call her Amandem?
Amanda. Amandem. I'm not that bad at names. Amandem Holden. Amandem Holden down.
I quite like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she's a Wally, isn't she?
Yeah. But I loved it. I had a good time. Did you watch it?
It was really weird because everyone had gone out that night and...
So you watch Pornhub then?
No, I didn't. No. UFC started at 9 o'clock, so I had like the perfect night. I had the house to myself, bottle of red wine, watching UFC, and had a little WhatsApp along with Pippi Kins, just watching the early fights, and then I went to sleep. Well, I'll tell you what I sent him. He went.
Did end in something sexy then.
Well, I'll let you decide. So, I was quite tired, and I sent him, the last thing I said was, God, that was brutal, grand and panned, a and I put, yeah, absolutely. He put, yeah. And then I replied with, wait for it. First word I sent, and then click send. Yit, Y-I-T.
Yeah, okay.
Gonna grab now bug. And then O-W, or. So, that's collectively, really yit, gonna grab now bug, or.
Was you drunk by this point?
I think I had 2 glasses of wine over a period of about 5 hours. Pip just responded with, what the fuck is this mess? And that kind of sort of jolted me, and I was just like, I think that was meant to be. I've got to go and get some sleep now. So, yeah, just talking gibberish.
He said that to me so much. I'm terrible at typing. Even at work on IM. If I'm at work and it's an email, it's all really good. If someone's IMing me, my Lord. It's awful. Instant messenger. It makes no sense.
Yeah, yeah. I'm terrible at it too, mate. Really am.
So, before we go any further, folks, and we introduce our top five, let us have a short message from our wonderful, wonderful sponsors.
Right, I want to tell you about our sponsor, Moto Recall.
Yes, it's one of those lifestyle utility apps that every phone should have.
It's got the practical, the nostalgia, and the dream. From 18 to 118, there is something for you. It's what you make it.
Day-to-day reminders of tax and MOT on your cars you've in your current garage. I, for one, sometimes been driving around in my car not being MOT because I forgot. So it's a bit of a lifesaver.
Absolutely. I mean, never buy a second-hand car without knowing the history. You know, provenance. Moto Recall makes sure you aren't caught out by allowing you to perform a full provenance check on the vehicle. With just the car reg, is there outstanding finance? Has it been in an accident? Is the mileage legit? You'll get the full picture, powered by experience, with a data guarantee.
I wish I'd had that in the past. And with this app as well, you can build your historic garage with photos and data that you can not only look back on for yourself, but you can share it with your mates. You know, every car is a memory. You used to have that Cat in the Hat car. I'd love to have seen that.
I mean, if you don't have an historic garage, like, build out your dream garage. You know, what has caught your eye? What are you dreaming of owning?
And the best bit is free. Up to 50 cars and provenance checks are pay as you go when you need them. Experian aren't as nice as the Moto Recall team, of course.
Download the app for free. Search Moto Recall in your app store. MOTORECALL. Moto Recall in your app store. Hello, this is Chaz from Love Beer. And I'm here to tell you about why I sponsor Hardcore Listening and what love-beer.co.uk does. I am a fully certified by the British Beer and Pubs Association for bar installation with a focus on home and office bars. I have loads of home bar clients who have really enjoyed the service during lockdown, as well as corporate office clients like Facebook and HelloFresh. I offer a complete solution from installing the bar equipment right the way through to keg supply. I also offer regular maintenance packages for those who want a bar without all the hassle.
Hello, this is Charles, also from Love Beer. I just want to also let you know I'm fully licensed to sell kegs. We can supply loads of different products from mainstream beers and ciders right through to trendy craft beers and even Prosecco kegs, all delivered to your bar by a certified technician.
Also, why I'm here, have I mentioned the Land Rover Beeries 3, which is a 45-year-old ex-MOD Land Rover Series 3 that we have done a complete restoration on during lockdown?
The 3 Beeries 3 is a custom-built high-performance bar hidden in the back of a Land Rover. The bar we have installed is capable of doing upwards of 500 pints per hour. We're about 4 to 5 weeks off having it all back together and ready to show it off. And I'll be launching an Instagram for it this week.
Nice one, Charles.
Nice one. Hello, I want to take a moment to shout out one of our wicked sponsors, eggfried.com. They are a streetwear brand. They produce t-shirts, sweats, hoodies, handmade denims. It's all inspired by hip-hop, punk, choir fashion. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, head over to eggfried.com and have a look on the website, because it's not just the design, it's the layout, it's the website. You know, the creative team over there are absolutely on point. There's just some great stuff there. And not just for adults as well. They've got Small Fried, which is their range of kids' clothes. And if you want your kid to just look beyond cool, like, head over and check that out. And they've given us a discount code, right, Chris?
Yes, egg salad. If you type egg salad into the discount coupon section, you get yourself a tidy little discount. And when they send out the stuff, it is packaged exquisitely. You get little goodies in there, stickers, and it's all wrapped up beautifully. So check out eggfried.com.
Okay, lastly, we want to thank, and certainly not leastly, we want to thank. Is leastly a word?
No, it's really not.
Right, we're going with it. We're going with it. So we want to thank Luke Van Boom. Luke Van Boom has a company called Bang Boom Creative. Luke is a long-time sponsor of this show and a friend of this show. If you see the pictures of Chris and I on the socials advertising this podcast, them happy snaps were taken by the genius that is Luke Van Boom. I mean, that's just the tip of what he does. Chris, do you want to explain a little bit more about what Bang Boom Creative does?
Yes, it's all about fresh, innovative production. So they're all about content with a heart and soul, making films of all kinds, shooting dynamic photographs and putting smiles on faces. They're passionate storytellers working with a diverse range of brands of all sizes. You know, their work includes short film, viral video, animation, hidden camera stunts, product demos, live action, 360 imaging and music promo. And they've worked with a ton of companies as well. Universal, BBC Children in Need, even the Mayor of London, Katie Piper, the NHS, the Dogs Trust. They've worked with a lot of companies.
It consistently blows my mind, you know, the stuff that you've just said there. Why does he have anything to do with us plums?
Stop talking him out of it.
Right.
There you have it. Hope you all got some useful information about how awesome our sponsors are. Shall we move on? Shall we hear what today's top five is?
Yes.
I don't know why. I put this out to my girlfriend this morning. I said, what top five should we do today? And she just looked at me and said, top five most disgusting meals you've eaten. And I thought, why did that come so quickly? And why, looking at me, do you think that's something we should discuss? But actually... Yeah, I mean, one reason why she says that is there is one there that maybe I cooked that wasn't so great, especially when you're trying to impress a girl on the second date. So, yeah, so we'll come to that one. Yeah, do you want to start or do you want me to start today?
You can start.
All right.
Before we start, I've really struggled with this.
Have you?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I think that... You know, it made me realise how grateful I am that I actually really, we don't really have a problem eating, you know, nice food, struggling for food, really. How lucky is that?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to kind of, I've eaten some bizarre things that some haven't been really decent. So I'm going to kind of throw them in there.
Mm.
There is a meal that makes me feel waft. and... There's also this weekend or these last 2 days previously, I've tried lots of foods for the first time, but there were some that I still refuse to try. So we'll get onto that as well.
Ooh, like it. Well, look, the first one that comes into my top five is it's disgusting because it made me feel disgusting with myself. And that was when, I've mentioned it on this podcast before, that was when I was going through a bit of a low point. I was comfort eating a lot. And the low point was the pot noodle on toast challenge with just grated cheese that I hadn't even grated myself. I bought in a packet. I can't see how, I mean, that's pretty lazy, isn't it, as a meal. Like, you can say just having toast is lazier. But if you're like, no, I want something more substantial, there's not many more shortcuts that you can have than doing what I did. And it tasted all right.
Of course it did. Pot noodles are nice. Toast is great. Put them together. Win-win.
And cheese. But grated cheese on a pot noodle. What?
You can't. Why? I don't think you can put this in. You're actually describing a really good meal.
Listen, like, it's
the heartburn. You can have it in a minute.
I think it was the heartburn that ensued. And my friend was just like, my friend who's a really good cook, who's a vegetarian at the time, a pescatarian, he was just like, I knew, he came up to see me in my like man cave, my bedroom that I wasn't leaving much, and was just like watching me roll around, clutching my fucking chest, going, oh, my fucking heartburn, it's killing me. And he's like, you're eating like a pig, you've got to, you know, stop this now, because it's not actually helping your situation. We've had Mental Health Week recently and all that other stuff, and how important food is in relation to my mental health. It's incredibly, it has a real impact. And like,
I understand, yeah. It was Mental Health Week, and you know, we've done bespoke episodes on it. Are you trying to say that your well-being can be affected by whether or not you have a Bombay Bad Boy or not?
Yeah. No. Right.
Sorry, on toast.
It's the pattern, the behaviour. Any little bit of naughty food you want is absolutely fine. But it's the quantity and your behaviours. If you sort of like, I've noticed in the last 2 months that my eating behaviours and that, and my self-care routines have got worse and worse and worse. Slowly, it all started with just like, I remember like at my mum's, I'm a vegan now, and there was a chocolate digestive, and I went, there's barely any milk in that, but it's loaded with sugar. I'll just have that one. And it's like, it's okay to have stuff that's naughty for you if you've got to make sure that it really is the exception to the rule. And ultimately, that pot noodle and toast with grated cheese, to me, was the sort of turning point of realising it wasn't just that. It was that I was just eating shit all the time. And that was just the turning point where, like, the heartburn was so bad, and I was just like, I've got to fucking have a word with myself, man. Because yeah. I'm just living off fried chicken and, like, all the bad stuffs. Mm. So, yeah, even though it wasn't, you know, on paper, listen, if you want to treat yourself to a pot noodle and toast, go and live your life, if that's how you choose to live it. I'm sure at some point I'm going to have a celebratory one. But I felt disgusted with myself that day, like, after eating that. Mm. I was just like, oh, I'm a mess. That's my number five.
Okay. Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Okay.
My number five. Stilton.
I've got a great story. I was wondering if I could fit it in around Stilton. Yeah, go on in. Go on in.
I haven't got a great story attached to it, yeah. But like just blue cheese in general, like
it's delicious, right?
No, rank.
It's lovely. It's beautiful.
It's not. I tell you,
melted blue cheese. Whoa.
No, do you know what that is? Melted earwax. That's what it tastes like. Oh. It's like I don't want to be like I love cheese.
Save your earwax for me, then, like, when I come over.
I love cheese. I love all the cheeses.
You don't. You don't love all the cheeses. You've just.
Apart from
your favourite cheese. Your favourite cheese is cheese strings. You don't like cheese. Stilton.
Oh, fucking old Rick Steiner, who just said last time he had cheese was on a Bombay Bad Boy on toast. Fucking hell. I really want to like it. That this is the thing. I want to like it. And there's other foods that I didn't used to like that I will try sporadically because I want to like it.
Yeah, of course. Okay.
And I see loads of things in restaurants that have like blue cheese in it or stilton, and I just think I really like that. The concept of that food. I really want to eat it. And it just tastes like I'm licking the battery every time I put it in my mouth.
I totally get where you're coming from. And I think certain blue cheeses, even if you get into a certain part of the blue cheese, it's like paracetamol.
Yeah.
And when it's like that, and I know what you mean about licking the battery, it really is. Like, that bit, I don't like it as strong as that.
Yeah.
Not anymore. But you want to, you know what you want to do is slip into bed with a nice gorgonzola or like a creamy blue cheese. Try one of them.
I went to, I've got a middle class statement here. I was in the Cotswolds and I went to a farm shop and I bought, I actually bought it because I think I actually went in there for a piss. I just wanted a wee, so I was like, I want to stop somewhere. So, popped in there. You know, I quite like having a little walk around a farm shop. I'm not going to lie. You know, I know that does sound terribly middle class. In there was Alex James from Blur Cheese. Not Alex James. Yeah, that would be weird. Called Blue Monday, right? So I just thought, right, this is cool. This is like, we're camping and I can go back tonight with some cheese. Alex James's cheese from Blur and it's named after one of my favourite records. Let's go for it.
Exactly.
I bought some Stinking Bishop, right?
Nice cheese.
Yeah, but if you can get that in your mouth, you're halfway there because that smell is fucking diabolical. But it tastes delicious. It's really not. Yeah. It's really not. But it's really nice. So I hope that gives you some clarity. So like, I'm not shy with a cheese because Stinking Bishop's a bad boy.
Yeah, exactly.
First bit of blue cheese I put in my mouth, I just thought this is rank. I literally like would. I wouldn't have, but I just thought if no one else was around here, I would have spat that out. It was I did not want it in my gob.
You got to go. Let me tell you. Go for a gorgonzola. Go for something like a Castillo blue cheese. They do them in like little wedges in the supermarket. Go with that. Honestly, it's an easier way to sort of like acclimatise your palate to it.
Okay.
My blue cheese story is I've loved it for years. Like at a steakhouse and that, I used to just put. Oh my god, I've got two now. One of them was that they had a cheese and whiskey night at the Ombudsman, and it was just loads of Stilton. And oh my god, I just remember one of the girls getting so drunk, she was shoveling by hand blue cheese into people's mouths. And there's just something, there was something about that that
made you
it
erect?
Just felt no, like the opposite. It made me
flaccid.
Made me feel sick. Yeah, I normally have a constant erection, and it made me feel sick. And she did it to me. I ate it, and I was drinking whiskey, and I ate a lot of blue cheese. And then at 4 a.m. in the morning, it was the first time I'd been sick in like honestly like 10 years from alcohol. And I went to the bathroom. I was sick, and it was black. And I was just like, that is not an experience I ever want again. And so the idea of having a cheese and whiskey night to me is like it should be like I can't wait. And the other story, just quickly, about blue cheese is when I worked at the Outback, and they used to watch me drink melted blue cheese all the time because I loved it so much. One of them made me a blue cheese milkshake once. and it was like easy half a pint of blue cheese milkshake, which I drank. People couldn't believe it. And I'll be honest with you, I weren't enjoying it. I was just doing it because, you know me, going for being a bit of a sucker for peer pressure.
That's probably going to make me be sick. Well, I don't know if I really want. I don't know. Can I just clarify? Will it get me a lot of attention? Yes. Pass it here. Chuck.
Check me out. I'll be a legend in the Outback. But that was just an aside. That was just like. So my number four is the meal I cooked for Molly on our second date. I guess by the point me and Molly got together, so I was like, say, 36, 37. And I like to keep things low-key on dating. I don't like to... We had a really awesome first date. Thanks to Ed Kiggins. Obviously, went to a Blues Bar and Kitchen as part of it. And we did loads of cool things. It was really good. And the second date, I was like, let's just keep it low-key. And also show her that I can put together some scram. just, you know, from what's in my cupboards, really. What a mistake. What, like, I don't know what it was, but I sort of had a rough idea. I found this menu, this meal, this thing that I'd not cooked before, which was...
Were you looking for the word recipe then?
Recipe... I think that's what they call them, but I'm not going to agree with you, mate. I'm going to have to look that up before. I'm going to seem silly just going along with that. Mm. And it was like this sort of like crayfish. It was like this crayfish noodle salad.
That's ambitious.
But it shouldn't be. It really, really shouldn't be. But you know, like the noodles. I can't remember what it said in the recipe, but it said a whole red onion.
Did you apply guesswork to this?
No. The problem is, when I cook via recipe, if that's what we're going to call it for now, I'm quite anal at following a recipe to the letter.
Yeah.
I think the worse you are at cooking, the more inclined you are to follow it by the letter, to be honest with you. You know, sometimes you can't get past the fact that you're missing something slightly. Oh, sorry, am I boring you on our podcast, Jim? yawning your head off. So I followed it kind of to the letter, and this recipe... It was back, like the red onion in it. Obviously, I put two. Like, that's what I mean. Like, I said one red onion. And instead of going, this red onion might be a bit too big for this particular.
But was it golf ball? Was it a fucking tennis ball? No, was it a football? How big was the onion?
No, it was it was like basketball size. It was massive. And I stuck this red onion in raw. And it was fucking gross. It had avocado in it. It was all cold. Which is what they said to have it like, but like, I can't believe, like, knowing Molly as I do now, like, Molly is like she's a great cook, and she's a good cook because she's got sets her standards high for what she wants to eat, and she's, I guess you could call her a fuss pot. Like, if you cook something, she is going to point out the flaws in it pretty quickly, but that's fine. She ate it, and basically. Didn't say any of that because it was a second date. And obviously it transpired like about 6 months in. She was like, I nearly didn't see you again because that food was so bad. And I was like, it really was fucking shocking. It was such a...
It just tasted
a raw onion, cold noodles and a couple of shrimps in there. And it was just like, wank.
God. Did you not think as you was eating it, fucking hell, this is disgusting?
No, yeah, of course I was thinking at the time, this is definitely, I mean, like, to say it's not my best effort is really underselling it. And the trip, like, to be fair, I did wing it. I was a bit like, oh, she's coming over, I'll just cook this. What I should have done was think of something that was more that I could do that I've done a lot.
Pot noodle on toast with cheese.
It's a bit like when they do come dine with me and they go, oh, I've not cooked this menu before, and you think, why are you doing that on national TV?
Yeah.
Like, don't risk that.
Yeah.
Don't go, oh, I don't cook steak regularly, and then sort of like, you know, just annihilate it on national television with some oven chips. I've seen that episode. Yeah, oh, God, it was horrible. And it honestly, it nearly ended the relationship before it started.
Okay.
What's your number four?
Vinegar.
I smelt vinegar this morning and thought of you and went, that smells great. And I thought, Stu would hate this smell right now.
Mm.
I'm not going to tell you what I was doing. I'm going to leave it. I'm just going to leave it like that.
Oh, why? Oh, don't, Chris. Oh, please.
Why?
I really want to know. Yeah, I just... When I got home last night, the kids had gone round the chippy. And I could smell the vinegar on the paper that the chips are wrapped in.
Oh.
And I just thought, I can't move that. I can't touch that. Like, because if I got that on my hand, but just that hot smell of vinegar like on the paper, just fucking hideous. Like, yeah.
It's one of the best smells, mate.
It's not, mate.
No, what's wrong with
Like the, and chips on a chippy, you know. It's. I mean, that's a great bit of food, isn't it? You know, when just...
What do you have with it? Salt and a bit of ketchup or something? Or just salt sometimes?
Yeah, just salt. Yeah. And that's only something that's come in over maybe like the last 5 years. Normally, I'd never put like salt on food. Like, It's really weird, like, because I see loads of people that still, like, whatever plate of food gets put in front of them, banging salt on it, and it's like...
It's mad.
I just think, you ain't got to look very far to find salt in food. Like, you know. But, yeah, I find that really weird seeing that. But, yeah, and then... Yeah, just a thought, like, coming up from a chippy, putting up, like, your chips on the plate and just thinking, oh, here we go. If someone put vinegar on them, I'd be like, oh, I've literally got to put them in the bin now. I can't eat them. Like, because just the thought of it, the smell of it, and the thought of, like, having it on my skin, like, having it on my fingers and, oh, no. Nah. Oh, yeah.
I feel sorry for you, mate. I really do.
I just, yeah, anything, like, sort of, like, stuff that's pickled, like, again, the same. Like, just
pickled
just,
eggs are incredible. I got Molly to try a bit of one the other day, and she didn't hate it as much as she thought she was going to.
Yeah, I just, yeah. Like, I mean, your veganism's going really well, man. Yeah. Like,
well, that was when we were in a... what's it called? Whitstable.
Oh, right.
So when we are eating out or something like that,
yeah,
then I don't mind making an exception. Although, I mean, to be fair, I mean, yeah, I had a steak that weekend. So that is the naughtiest.
Yeah.
And I was disappointed by it. So again, it is a bit like, yeah. I keep thinking like go and have meat and it's what I've dreamed for having now. And it's like, it's not, it's really not.
I had some really good food last couple of days. I had vegan minted lamb and it was like these little kind of sort of shreds of it. Like pieces and that been like marinated in like mint, like in this kind of bowl with like Jersey roll potatoes.
Oh, amazing!
And like some sort of greens and bits and pieces, and oh, it was amazing. And I also had this fucking incredible. I went out for some Cuban food. For like, I've been away for the last couple of days, by the way. This isn't my standard sort of eating. I'm normally pot noodle and toast, but But I just had this salsa that had pineapple and charred sweet corn in it. Fucking hell. It was just a game changer, yeah. And it's really weird, because all the people I was with literally can't handle... what's the herb that people have a really weird reaction to? Some people just can't...
Parsley or the other one. Coriander.
Coriander. I love coriander. And the three people that I was with were just like, no. Yeah. Like, it spoils the whole dish for me. People have a really weird like reaction to that, don't they? It's like, you either like it or you fucking hate it. And like, and maybe that's what I'm like with vinegar, I don't know. But yeah, it's not for me. From me to you to number three.
Number three is the eating challenge. So when I used to work at the Ombudsman, every year
a blue Stilton milkshake weren't that, no?
This is going on from that. It has obviously come from that and things at uni where we would dare each other to eat stuff for money. Like each other's arseholes and stuff like that, you know. I did that every Friday night. I had a price list of what I'd do as a challenge,
yeah,
as a dare to my friends.
Cool guy.
And it was usually normally involved my lips on their body parts. But yeah. I was always up for the challenge. It was nothing else, right? Never back away from a challenge. And so I've always liked an eating challenge and a bit of fun, as we know when I burnt my mouth on that chicken wing.
Yep.
Which is could get an honourable mention, I guess. Mm-hmm. That was unbelievable, that Viper chicken wing. But the eating challenge, every year on my birthday, and for my other mate, I'd do it to him. What you had to do is go round like your local supermarket and just buy whatever you thought looked like the most nasty few items. And the other person had to film themselves eating it and send it to them. So obviously there was always like, if it became your birthday, it was like, yeah, you get some nasty shit. And one year he got me like it got me sauerkraut in a jar, and I have sauerkraut now most days because Molly makes it and it's delicious, right? We make it ourselves and it's really great, but this sauerkraut in a jar was rough. But the same the same year he got me that, he also got me this chicken in a can, right? And this chicken, it was chicken chunks, right? And it was the, you know, it was, I don't know what brand it was, whether it was Sainsbury's or Tesco's, but it's just in a white can. There was no branding on it, just chicken in a can, chicken chunks in a can. And you look round, and I read the, you know, what was in it. How much of it was chicken?
30%.
It was about 6% chicken. And I was like, and it was chunks of chicken.
Arseholes, eye holes, ear holes.
Oh, mate. And I it said pop it in the microwave it. I don't know what, to make me feel sick anyway. And I did it and we filmed it and it was just rancid. And what's mad is that's just available. Poor son's probably eating that. I'd probably rather eat dog food.
Mm.
I haven't actually ever tried dog food. That's an eating challenge I guess I've not done.
I've had dog food a few times.
What was it like?
It's all right. Like, yeah. quite sort of like grainy.
Meaty.
Like, yeah, I remember just seeing it in Digby when I was a kid and just thinking, if he can eat dog food, it looks all right. Yeah, I ate a dog biscuit Christmas, I think.
Oh, I wouldn't mind a dog biscuit. Dog food, I mean, you know me. If I'm going to drink a
good cheese milkshake. It weren't like I have a white can. It was like, it was probably more meat in that than what you ate.
I actually believe that there would have been.
Yeah, but I think dog food in like a pasty or something like that with a bit of white pepper would be all right.
Yeah, so this eating challenge, it was even like, you'd have to, like, they'd give you bird's eye chilies and stuff like that.
Mm.
But it's all the stuff that's in a can is what you've got to flipping watch out for, mate. That's where it gets a bit grim.
Well, I've got a few food story things. Eating challenges. Sorry if I'm a little bit, like, I'm just not with it today. Food challenges used to do quite a lot of. So we'd every Easter we would do the cream egg challenge. We've done the legendary one with Big Papa Jay where he ordered 100 cheeseburgers and one fries. We done the Pizza Hut lunchtime buffet, how many slices you could eat. And I've still never done hot dogs. I think I could beat everyone at hot dogs. But I'm also...
I think you could get two down your throat at once, to be honest with you.
I'm also kind of pretty much sort of stopped eating meat now as well. I probably won't be doing the hot dog challenge now. But, it's just reminded me of something that I fucking don't like.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Oh, I can't think what they're called. Oh, you know. Anyway.
Oh, describe it.
But the one that it was reminiscent to that one. So about, I must have been about 20, and me and my mates walked around the corner to the offie, and when we was in there, like, there was this kind of fella in there that was probably about 40, and he looked he looked down on his luck, and he was, you know, a pretty scruffy fella. And he had a carrier bag, and in that carrier bag was a turnip, a pint of milk, pineapple chunks, a grapefruit, and I think it's tin tomatoes or something like that. And he was trying to explain to the woman behind the counter about the art of bartering. And he was trying basically to just get a can of special brew for what he had in his bag. And I just felt for him. I just thought that's pretty cool. He's having a go here. He's not just coming in and like nicking it, you know. And if you can't afford it, so I gave him like a fiver for his bag of stuff. And then I said to my brothers, mate, I will give you a fiver if you eat the contents of this, but don't worry. So I said, basically, have a few bites of that turnip. No, hang on, not a turnip, a swede.
Yeah.
What's the one that's really stringy? That's like a turnip's like more sort of carrot-esque in shape, isn't it? And a swede's round.
It's a bit stringy.
Yeah, and so he was trying to like eat a swede like an apple, and it was unreal.
How much was the challenge to eat a whole?
No, there was no. Literally, he had a couple of like bites, and it was just chew, chew, chew because it wasn't cooked. But I then got a glass and poured the milk, squeezed the grapefruit, and put the tomato chunks in it. So straight away, the grapefruit congealed the milk.
That's so horrible.
And I was like, £5. And I didn't have £5 to throw around. I'd just given £5 to the bloke in the shop.
You're nearly in at £15 here, mate.
I know. I hadn't even bought my... I would have gone round there to buy two bottles of wine for a fiver, because that was me standard. Like, if we're going out on a piss, we're going to go and buy two bottles of really bad wine. And Jim literally necked this pint. Oh. And as it was going down, we would all put our ears to his belly because you could hear it going. It was like, oh my God, that's gone to work straight away.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jim didn't come out that night. Like, fucking hell.
Well, you know what? The good thing for Jim, though, is he saved his money on booze and what he'd have spent, and he earned himself a couple of quid.
And a hearty meal.
I bet that guy whizzing around in your tummy was not the...
It was just the instant that grapefruit hit that milk, it just went into like globules of curdled. Like, oh, fucking rank.
Yeah.
What is it, my number three?
I think so, mate, yeah.
I can't think of what it's called. Oh, God.
Describe it to me.
Them bloody green things that like make your wee smell.
Asparagus. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't like it?
Nah.
That's lovely asparagus.
Nah. It's nice. Nah. It's nice. It turned up like when I was away. We went to vegan restaurants both nights, and I had some amazing food. But one of them come up with like three sticks of asparagus, and it's one of them ones that I consistently try. Because people are like, oh, it's lovely. And I'm like, and I just think, oh, it's really not. It's really not. And people talk about it like it's some little fucking magic wand of a vegetable, and it's really fucking not. It's just.
It looks like it's from outer space. It's like a strange looking thing.
I just think it looks like. I was about to say, it just looks like something that grows out the floor.
Accurate. A goblin's penis.
Yeah, I just don't like it. I really don't like it. And I've tried a fair few times. And I don't want to sound like I'm a fucking baller, because I'm really not. But I've also eaten that in like a really, really posh restaurant. And it still didn't do anything for me. Whilst everybody I was sitting with was like, oh my God, this is fucking amazing. Mm. Don't you want yours? And I'm like, nah. So there's things like that are accompaniments on a plate, but that, yeah, when that one turns up, I always just think, oh, fucking hell, can't I just have beans? Like, yeah, so asparagus, mate.
I did feel bougie as fuck. I remember an ex making me, like, he got me into it, and she'd do, like, tuna steaks with asparagus, and I was like, this is living. I'm an adult now. I was, like, 27 at the time.
Yeah, that's...
And I still thought that was healthy. Like, kids these days must hopefully be eating a lot better than what we did when we were younger. Well, certainly me. I was thinking, yeah, this is living.
Is it your number two?
Yeah. So, I've got three parts to number two. But it's all in the realms of kebabs.
Oh, okay.
The wonderful, wonderful... So what I'll say is my highs of kebabs are highs. Like, I think some of my favourite meals ever have been kebabs. It's a fact.
Yeah.
It's a fact. It, like you know, like eating a kebab with my mate Mark, he makes sex noises as he's eating his kebab. And it's a bit uncomfortable. But when he bites into a kebab, he sort of like goes, And it's kind of a bit like, stop doing it. But also, I understand what you're doing, because a good kebab, like after a night out, is just like, oh wow, like a lamb sheesh kebab used to be with garlic sauce and hot sauce. It used to be incredible. And back in Birmingham, they used to do chicken tikka kebabs in naan bread, and they were incredibly good. But the sort of places you get kebabs are not really known for their hygiene standards, are they? That's the problem.
Wild generalisation there, Glasson.
Listen, the worst kebab shop I've ever been to is the one outside Langdon Station.
Oh, name and shame.
they need to
look
be.
At you. You fucking move down to Margate with your fucking hipster collective eating asparagus, and look at you fucking pouring fucking hate all over the fucking your home turf and the fucking place that kept you in food.
I love a greasy spoon cafe. I don't mind, sort of like salt of the earth places at all. I love it, in fact. But the one outside Langdon Station, I had a chicken kebab in there once, right? And as I was walking home...
Sorry, in there?
No, sorry. I ordered it. As I was walking home, because it was chicken off the leg.
Yeah.
Of the, you know, you've got to go sheesh, really, these days, if you want any sort of, like, you know, degree of control over what you're eating. Because the leg stuff, God knows what's in it. But some of that chicken was grey. It was grey, bruv. And I was halfway through it when I really noticed. I was going, I don't know, it don't even really taste like chicken, what I'm eating. And I looked at it and I was like, you know what? I've got quite a strong stomach, but I even think this might be a bad idea to finish it. So I stopped. And even still, for the next 2 days, I was so poorly. And what's worse is a year later, I found myself in a situation outside that kebab house and I went, I'll get another one. And I had one mouthful of it. I had one mouthful of it and I was like, what am I doing? It was so bad. It was so, so foul. And so that's part one. The other one is, when I was in Germany for Oktoberfest, it was like 12-hour drinking sessions every day. And at the end of the day, like on the way back to our hotel, we'd walk past this kebab shop. And it didn't look like, you know, the sort of your textbook kebab shop. It was so beautifully presented, this place. And we'd always have a kebab. And we would literally all be talking about how amazing these kebabs were on the way back. And that it's easily the best kebabs of our lives. And then the next morning, on the last morning, on the way back to the Oktoberfest, we went for breakfast, because we were normally having like a sausage McMuffin for breakfast. Should we just have a kebab? Because they are just so delicious. Let's just have one now. You know, throwing all rules out the window. It was a weekend of absolute, you know, debauchery and madness. So we all bought a kebab. And like even by like the third mouth,
sex noises. Then
no, we were looking at each other, going, "I really can't understand how this could taste so different." Like, what is it? Is it the sunlight? Is it sunlight? It needs to be dark when you eat a kebab for it to be delicious. Do you need to have drunk like 5-6 steins for it to taste this good?
Yes.
But it first thing in the morning, mate, it was like no one finished their kebabs. We really tried, and yeah, it was just like, that's got to go in the bin. And I guess the last thing that really made me stop eating like any kebab that wasn't like a sheesh was waking up. I remember one day waking up in my flat and the kebab, the half-eaten kebab, was lying next to me. Cold doner meat, and I was just, and the smell was just so horrendous, and I was just like, I think that's that.
All right.
No, I was like, I think this is this. This is, there's no more of this happening. And I pretty much. I think I've had one doner kebab since that in about like 5 or 6, probably like 10 years.
There's a time and a place for them.
Yeah,
it's like. It is like firing that fucking last shot at the Death Star. You've got to get it right. And like, when you've had the right amount of booze and you are just fucking starving on the way home, sometimes a doner can just deliver.
It really can.
But waking up the next morning, even if you've, like, for me, it's like one of them things that, like, I can't just put it in the bin in the house. I've got to literally, it's got to get out the ass, because I have enough anxiety and enough shit to deal with just waking up still feeling it for a 360 degree circumference around the outside of my mouth, just feeling that kind of grease that's stuck in there. Rotten, glorious.
Number two, mate.
I'm gonna go for tomatoes. One of the things that I tried for the first time yesterday, it was a sun-dried tomato, and I did enjoy it.
What? What the hell?
Yeah.
How can that be the first time you've tried? I guess if you don't like tomatoes, I guess.
Yeah. So, waking up in the hotel, go for breakfast, and obviously there's a fried breakfast presented to you. Thankfully, the tomato is just one where they cut them in half and just stick them on like
grilled.
Which I can then just put on the little plate where my toast was, give it to someone that really wants it. But if I ever go there and someone's put that fucking plum tomato shit on my plate...
Oh, I love it.
Oh, the thought of that stuff just getting everywhere.
Oh, it's great.
Oh.
You have that mixing in with your bread and your egg yolk.
You're just doing this to fucking wind me up.
No, it's delicious.
Like,
bit of pepper on it.
Oh, nah. Mate, it's just, do you know what, right? I'm not suggesting it's my kryptonite. Vinegar's my kryptonite. But, again, I think, like, if I'm ever...
It's quite acidic-y, though, isn't it?
I don't know. I've never put one of them plum things anywhere near my mouth. Again, another thing is, like, tomato juice. Why would you drink that?
Oh, it's lovely, tomato juice. Oh, really nice. V8 is quite a nice little juice. Oh. And a Bloody Mary.
Right, like, that's where I'm going with it. It's like, I have been hungover a lot. And the last thing I would ever want is tomato juice.
It's banging, mate. Bit of Worcestershire sauce. I literally, not that long ago, I had one.
Rotten.
And it had a bit of mustard in it. And it was really good. Vodka. Poor, it was banging.
No, it's not
spicy
for me.
Spicy goodness, yeah.
Not for me, mate. I just think they're just weird.
All right, so what about then bolognese?
Right, so this is where I was going with it. Because when I mentioned this to the fam, they were like... Because I said, like, there's not really many meals that I've ever just gone, oh, no, that was disgusting. But the only meal that is quite a regular dish in our house that... I just think, oh no, is spaghetti bolognese, because I don't like tomatoey pasta. I don't like anything kind of driven by tomatoes. It's just not for me.
You'd hate me and Molly's one of our specials. It started when I lived at Mercer's Mansion, and we used to have spicy prawn Tuesdays, and that would be like a red pasta, and me and Molly continued that tradition. And we do this tomato spicy prawn pasta. Well, we used to. Obviously, we can't now. Since being with Molly's mum, we certainly don't do it. But back when we were in Deptford, we would have like spicy prawn Tuesdays or Mondays. But we would add 7 different tomatoes in that. So you'd have like cherry tomatoes, sun-dried tomatoes, tin tomatoes, tomato paste. Oh, maybe it's 5. Maybe it was 5 tomatoes. And it was, oh my God. And then you get the right amount of chili in there and put it in, and put lime on the prawns and stuff like that and sort of cook them off first, give them a bit of a char in. Oh, mate, it's fucking heaven. But I imagine for you, sounds more like hell.
Yeah, that would be, if that got put in front of me in a restaurant.
Just push it off the table.
Yeah, I'd literally just launch it up the wall. Flip the table and just walk out. I'll probably leave my little tip as I walked out and then give them like 5 stars on TripAdvisor. Come back the next day of anxiety and apologise.
Yeah, well, it's the right way to do it, mate. The only way to do it.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Number one.
My number one. So this was a meal I had when I went skiing when I was 14. And the food there, I guess, obviously, when you're younger, your palate's a bit more restricted, isn't it? And I think also it's funny when you're abroad, like it's simple, like even the produce and all that, it can taste slightly different. The oils that they cook things in, everything like that. I think when you're younger, your palate is a little bit, you're less willing to sometimes adapt and try. And I know, like pretty much every mealtime, we were having a bad time of eating. And me and my mate who I shared a room with, like we were just like, this is fucking disgusting. I can't eat this. And like the teachers would come round and like, I don't think they were interested in our nutrition. I think they were interested in not embarrassing the hotel we were at. Because they were always like, you've got to eat that. And I'd be like, it was disgusting. It was really horrible. And we sussed out that we didn't know what these bags were in our room. This is how fucking stupid, you know, you are as a young lad. But there was these little plastic see-through bags in the toilet in our room. We're like, why have they always got these little bags on a roll? And obviously they were for sanitary dispensing uses. We didn't know that. And one day we went down there and we knew that we didn't want to eat the food. Like whatever it was going to be, it was probably going to be disgusting. So we took some of these bags down with us, a couple each. And when the food came out, it was veal. And we both tried it and both was like, that's the fucking worst thing that we've had so far, right? I've not eaten veal since that point, and probably even like for the last 10 years, I wouldn't have eaten it because I heard about how they sort of like, you know, what they do with veal. It's quite tragic how they, and if you want to look up how veal's made, folks, if you want any encouragement to stop eating it. And, but we didn't know that at the time. We just thought this tastes disgusting. And maybe that was because of our immature palates or whatever. But me and Paul decided to just siphon this veal and gravy off into these sanitary towel bags. And we filled up these two, like we had two bags each, filled them up, had them in our pockets. We were like zipped up. No, there was no spillage. We thought, oh, we've aced this. And then when we got back to our rooms, we were like, what are we going to do with it? And I guess what would have been smarter would have been to think, flush it down the toilet.
Yeah, of course.
But we didn't. Like, we were doing this. This is so dangerous, right? But it, on like in these like villas in Spain, in where was we? Italy. It was like a six-story massive chalet. Like I'm telling you, this place was big. It must have had 100 rooms, right, in the chalet. And we were in one of the top rooms. And we were climbing out of our window of a night time on a roof in these places where the roof was like, honestly, it was probably like 4 foot deep of snow everywhere in this place in Italy. And so was the roof. But, I mean, that could have slid off the roof. We'd have died. Mm-hmm. And what we were doing of a night time, we'd crawl around and then pick icicles off where the bell was. At the top of this church building, I don't know if it was a converted chapel or whatever, but I don't think it was. But it was a bell there, and I think that's crazy. But this one night we had these veal bags, so we just started lobbing them off the fucking roof, and then the next day we went down to go out, and there was like people were like, "What's that?" And it was just like veal on a car. Frozen
in a sanitary towel bag.
We were like, no one hears about this fucking story because someone's going to shop us in. So we just like kept it to ourselves. But yeah. That was the disgusting veal story. Yeah, horrible. A week of gross food. What's your number one, mate?
I went to a restaurant called, I'm going to try and say this right, Apollegio.
Apollegio, yeah. I think there's one in London, isn't there?
King's Cross.
Yeah.
And was it King's Cross? No. Euston. Houston.
Does it look like a bit like almost at the front of it? It looks more like a cafe than it does a restaurant.
No, it looks like some kind of like antique shop or something like that.
Oh,
mad fucking place. So we'd gone out with Big Papa Jay and Antonia, and it was my birthday, and we'd gone to Sushi Samba for lunch, which is a real treat. It's a very lovely restaurant.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And we'd had some delicious food, and then had too much to drink. Then went to the Oasis exhibition where you can have your photo taken on the cover of Definitely Maybe, which looks really fucking cool. And it was like, right, at that point, had too much to drink, gone to the pub, had some more to drink, and it's like, right, well, you know, we spent a lot of money on this very expensive lunch, you know, birthday treat. So anyway, let's go home. No, let's not. Let's go out for dinner. So we went to this restaurant, and it was quite bananas. So I'm going to say I ate a lot of things that most people probably haven't eaten in there. Mm. Some was quite nice, some wasn't. So I'll give you a rough breakdown. So I had a witchetty grub. Like locusts. I had mealworms. I had... what was the animal? It was fucking bizarre. It was like literally shit, like fucking badger spleen and things like that. It wasn't, but it was something like that. I can't remember what everyone else ate, but everybody chose different stuff. However, the one thing that I just couldn't finish, because back when, you know, I would eat meat all the time, like I was up for, I mean, you've seen me put fucking stuff off the floor in my mouth, like, so
sure.
I'm always up for trying something, and I just looked at the and I just thought, right, I'm gonna have python, and I just thought, well, you know, why not? It's an opportunity that I'm never gonna have again. Let's eat some python. And so all I can explain how it was, it come up like no, like when you buy like like sort of like sliced meats, like sort of liver sausage and that in like a little pack, and there's like six little circles of it that you put in a sandwich for your kids' packed lunch.
Yeah.
It was like that, but it was white, and it was cold, and it was the toughest thing I've ever put in my mouth. And I remember like chewing on this snake for a long while, and I just could not finish it. And like literally one bit of that, I was like, I can't eat that. That's really unpleasant. I mean, mad experience of a place to go to, but yeah, no one needs to be eating a snake.
You know, you got to have, I used to like trying all the different sort of meats, like wild boar. I remember having that in Vietnam, and it was cooked off on roof tiles, weirdly, hot roof tiles. You have slices of it and cook it off a hot one of them, and it was delicious. But for every every now and then, you'll try something like that, and it will just, that does sound gross. I've got no need or business eating that.
Nah, it was.
The worst thing like that I tried was, we went for dim sum, and I loved dim sum, but one of them was like, I think it was tripe. It was the inside of a goat's stomach or something like that. And that was chewy, and it tastes like offal, but not in a good, like in any sense a good way. It was way too offally. And I just, my stomach turned as I was chewing that. I was like, mate, I'm not going to get through more than this mouthful. And I didn't. But yeah, python, pass. Pass on the python, mate.
Right, I'm going to just try and find this rest. Try and tell you exactly what else I ate there, because it was surreal.
I don't want to try like that. I'm a celebrity. I could do all the challenges, but the eating one, I tell you, I think I'd struggle with the level of grossness that they eat.
See, stuff like that, I've always said to like the kids and that, it's like I could walk through that. That does not bother me. Like I can just get that down my neck, like a piece of piss.
It was cow stomach I had, not goat stomach. I'm looking at the pictures now. I'm like, no, that's just not fucking the one.
Python restaurant.
I think you might get something else come up.
Yeah, that's probably true.
For hen parties.
Oh, yeah, I don't know if I can find it. But, yeah, there was just so many bizarre things on that menu. And then at the end, it was me birthday. And this woman just went to me, "Do you want to see the doctor?" And I went, "What?" She went, "Do you want to see the doctor?" And I was like, "Yeah, all right." And then this fella that looked like the bloke that flogged the Mogwai in Gremlins comes out from the back of this thing with like this like leather bag, like a proper like doctor's bag from like, yeah, you know, the olden times. And he's just in it, he's just got all of these like potions. And he pulled out this one that had like a snake in it. And he went to me, "I hear you can't get hard." And I went, okay, yep. Yeah, we'll go with that. And he went, "Drink this, it makes you hard." And I went, all right. And he then poured, I've no idea what alcohol it was, into this glass that had a snake in it. And it was the most intense alcoholic drink I've ever had. It was...
Really?
It wasn't even like... Yeah, I don't know what it was, but it was just like almost like pure fucking alcohol, and it, yeah, messed me up.
Did it? I think what we all want to know is, did it make you hard?
It's a drunken soiree in the Within.
Chris and Stu present Our Core Listing, the podcast.